This is Ozarks at Large. Greg Letting, a member of the Arkansas House of Representatives from Fayetteville, is the first Democrat to hold a certain office in nearly 140 years, House Minority Leader. Democrats are the minority party in both chambers this winter, but by a slim margin, meaning successful passage of legislation will take bipartisanship efforts. This week, Greg Letting sat down with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business to discuss the Democratic Party agenda for the 89th General Assembly.
We've seen some details from the Republicans. They have put forth a simple plan, which has some tenets that they subscribe to. We're seeing some legislation filed on that part. I want to come back and ask you about that specifically. But first of all, what are the Democrats going to do in terms of putting forward an agenda?
We're going to carry forward the commitments that we campaigned on. You know, we know that, jobs in our economy continue to be the most important issue to our Kansans. Education continues to be an incredibly important issue. So we're going to work to strengthen our schools. You know, we've made a lot of progress in that area in the last several years, but we know we still have some work to do. We know that, health care is an area where Arkansas has actually received some national praise in terms of the innovation, like with the Payment Improvement Initiative that we've seen, with the fact that, you know, we went from having no trauma system to an incredible trauma system in the span of just a couple of years. But we know that we lead the nation in stroke mortality. We know that we have an obesity problem. So that'll continue to be a priority for us. We know that obviously Medicaid is going to be one of the major issues of this session. But then also government issues. I think government gets a bad rap. You know, and we are also we're often labeled as the party of big government, which is absolutely not true. But we do believe in a strong government that's able to take care of its people and pay its bills. And I think Democrats have historically been in Arkansas the party of fiscal discipline. But we want to address ethics issues going forward in this session.
Will we see specific legislation come forth on education, on ethics, on some of this government being responsible? Or are you talking about some status quo that you want to protect changes from being made to?
I think we'll see some of both. I think we have done a great job of keeping the state's fiscal house in order. So there are going to be certain things that we're going to protect.
Give me some examples.
We have some problems with, I believe it's House Bill 1041. It was Representative Bruce Westerman. We know that the governor and DFNA have some problems with that bill. We're kind of uncomfortable with that. We do have some colleagues who are working on some ethics legislation, and I think you're going to see some bipartisan legislation there. I don't think that's going to be one side or the other.
But you said some of it will be defense as well, so.
There will be some defensive, but we know that we spent a lot of the 88th General Assembly on defense, and we do want to play more offense this time.
You want to tip your hand a bit as to what might come forward in terms of being proactive on that front?
I think you're going to see some legislation aimed to really help and strengthen Arkansas families. We know that even though Arkansas wasn't hurt as badly as many states with the recent economic downturn, we still took a hit. And we know that we're still struggling a little bit. So I think you're going to see some bills aimed to help families and working families. Your Representative Butch Wilkins has already put out there, I don't believe he's filed it yet, but a bill to raise the minimum wage. I know Representative Jim Nichols, for him, you know, working on Kansans are a top priority, and this is his last term. They're going to continue to be a top priority for him. So I think you're going to see a few bills from him. But we'll have more specifics.
One of the things that the Republicans have talked about doing, and they are in the majority, so we have to kind of put it in that context, income tax reform. Charlie Collins, one of your colleagues from Fayetteville, is going to be leading the Revenue and Tax Committee, where they have a supermajority on that committee. Do you see problems with creating a middle income tax bracket where there is tax relief for people in that middle income territory?
I would love to see tax relief for all our Kansans, but I think we have to do it responsibly, and we are working on our own ideas. We do recognize that Republicans on the House committee do have a supermajority. It's 15-5, but when you get to the House floor, it is still just 51-49. And historically, the Speaker doesn't vote. That's not to say he won't, but it's not the majority that they thought they were going to have weeks before the election or even the day of the election. And same goes in the Senate. I still think you're going to see common sense and level-headed cool heads prevail.
Do you think some of that is because the governor does have the ability to veto some of that, which would cause the legislature to have to override his veto, which they have the numbers to do?
It's a simple majority. You need 51 votes in the House and just 18 votes in the Senate to override a veto. I don't think it's necessarily a given. I have no insight as to whether or not the governor is willing and ready to veto something. I do think that if he did, it's not necessarily a slam dunk that we would override it. I do think the governor vetoing a piece of legislation would give some people pause, but we'll see.
You mentioned ethics earlier. Give me an example beyond ethics of one thing where you really see consensus between Republicans and Democrats where you think you will be working together on a major, significant accomplishment, maybe Medicaid.
I think Medicaid will be the significant achievement of this session. It is clearly the dominant topic, both in terms of the shortfall, but the extension, the expansion of Medicaid. I know that the chances are not necessarily great at this point, but I do think it's something that the more we learn about, the more we hear about the positive economic impact of extending the program, the more we hear about the dire consequences of not extending the program, the more people seem to be willing to talk, whereas, you know, months ago, you couldn't even get a conversation going. So I really do believe by the time we get near the end of session, there's a chance that we can get that done.
What do you see as a line in the sand where you can tell right now with about 100% accuracy, Democrats are going to side right here on this issue, Republicans are going to side right here on this issue, and we're just going to have to duke this one out?
I'm sure there are some issues like that out there right now, but I genuinely, I can't think of one at the moment. Most issues out there right now sort of have supporters on both sides. And I think Speaker Carter has made it clear that he really wants to see consensus from both parties. I genuinely want both parties, where we can, to work together. I would like to see the public's opinion of lawmakers go up. And I think that one of the best ways we can do that is to work together, have honest, open debate, dispense with some of the theatrics that we've seen in the past, and actually come up with a positive solution.
So you don't see voter ID or charter schools or school vouchers or any of those hot button issues, maybe even some of the gun or abortion bills, you don't see any of those?
Those will definitely be some serious fights. I don't necessarily see them as being exclusively partisan. I mean, you've got Democrats who would maybe like to see some more sensible approach to gun laws, but you have some for whom it's a non-starter. Same with some of the reproductive rights bills. Voter ID, I think, will be a pretty major issue. Charter schools, too, because you start talking about charter schools, those tend to threaten public schools in rural areas. And so I think you're going to see some pushback there, but I don't necessarily think of them as partisan issues.
Democrats have always been joked that they're a party where they're not really a party. You know, you've got all these different splinters, and they all come together under this umbrella. Do you think Republicans are seeing that now with their majorities now and the growth of their party? Do you kind of see? Hey, do you even joke with them? Hey, welcome to the club. You're going through what we've been going through for a long time.
I've joked a little bit with Representative John Burris. I think we did see some fractures in their party just immediately after the election. I think, by and large, those afield. I think they are operating largely as one, but I do believe they have their own factions just as we have our own factions. I do believe now, I mean, obviously I'd rather have 51 than 49, but I do believe that the Democratic caucus so far this session is more united than it might have been 2 years ago.
All right. He's Representative Greg Letting. He's a Democrat from Fayetteville. He's the House Minority Leader, as he prefers to be recognized as the House Democratic Leader. Thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Greg Letting, Democratic State Representative from Fayetteville, talked to Roby Brock from Talk Business this week as part of Talk Business's daily wrap-ups of legislative work at the website talkbusiness.net. Support for talkbusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com.
And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at BankOzarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas, diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.